They cut your podcast conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome. You know, you scroll through your newsfeed, you turn on the TV. It's just relentless, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're instantly hit with, well, history in the making, supposedly. Political fights, market right. Ups and downs.
Right. The immediate stuff, the events. It feels like that's all that matters. But what if focusing just on that daily churn, you know, makes us miss the bigger picture?
The much bigger picture. One of the most important forces shaping our world aren't yesterday's headlines, but things that have been unfolding for centuries.
That's a really powerful question, and it takes us straight to the heart of today's deep dive.
Indeed. We're looking at the work of a truly revolutionary historian, Fernand Braudel, specifically drawing insights from summaries of his major work, A History of Civilizations.
Our goal here isn't just to talk about history, but to maybe change how you see it. Exactly. We want to unpack Braudel's framework. It's a way of thinking that pushes past the noise, the flash and foam, as he might say, to understand the deep underlying currents of societies.
And the absolute key to unlocking this, the term you'll hear us use a lot, is the longue durée.
Mm-hmm. The longue durée.
It's French, means the long duration. And we're not talking about just years or decades here.
No, no. We're talking centuries, millennia even. It's about those structures in society that seem almost permanent, that change incredibly slowly, like deep ocean currents.
Things that underpin everything else.
Precisely. And to really get why this was so radical, you need to know a bit about Braudel himself. Fernand Braudel lived from 1902 to 1985. He wasn't your typical historian, just focused on politics or great men.
No, he was part of that influential French annal school. They wanted a much broader view.
Right. He combined history with geography, economics, sociology, anthropology. He aimed for what he called total history, looking at everything, basically.
And the story behind his most famous work, The Mediterranean, it's just amazing.
It really is. He wrote a huge part of it during World War II.
While he was a prisoner of war in Germany for 5 years.
Imagine that. Surrounded by the absolute chaos of war, total political upheaval.
And he writes this monumental book about deep, enduring structures, mostly from memory.
That experience, I think, it must have profoundly shaped his ideas. It gave him this incredible perspective on what lasts versus what's just, well, temporary political drama.
It led him to ask that fundamental question, what are the really deep forces, the underlying constants, that shape societies over these vast stretches of time?
And his answer often came back to geography, to the physical world. He kind of transformed history into what some call geohistory, how the land, the sea, the climate shape human possibilities over the long durée.
Okay, so if we want to adopt this Braudelian lens, how do we actually do it? How do we train ourselves to see past the daily noise?
Well, he gave us a toolkit, a really crucial one. It's his three-tiered model of historical time. You have to think about history happening at three different speeds simultaneously.
Three speeds. Okay, let's break that down.
All right, so level one, the top layer, is what he called histoire événementielle, event history.
That's the stuff we see every day, right? The headlines, the elections, the battles, the actions of individual leaders.
Exactly, the surface foam. Braudel was actually quite dismissive of this level. He thought it was mostly noise, ephemeral, blinding, yes, but ultimately explaining very little about the deeper structures.
Okay, so that's the fast history. What's level two?
Level two is conjunctural time. Think of this as medium-term history. It's not about single events, but broader trends and cycles.
Like economic booms and busts. Or maybe demographic shifts, population growth or decline over decades.
Precisely. Social trends, technological waves, the lifespan of political systems, things that last maybe decades or even a century or two. They have a definite rhythm, a cycle. They rise and fall. They move slower than events, but they still definitely move.
Okay, events are the foam, conjunctures are the waves. What's underneath?
That's level three, the deep currents, structural time, the longue durée.
Ah, there it is again.
This is the almost motionless history, the bedrock. We're talking about things that change incredibly slowly, if at all, over centuries.
Like what, specifically?
Geography is a huge one. Mountain ranges, climate patterns. Also, fundamental social structures. Think about things like, say, traditional land ownership systems or deeply ingrained cultural attitudes, mental frameworks.
Things that persist through multiple empires, different economic systems.
Exactly. The key difference is persistence. An economic recession, level two, eventually ends. But the basic challenge of farming in a particular climate zone, that's level 3, it endures. Burdell insisted you have to start your analysis here with these deep structures.
I like the house analogy sometimes used for this. Level 1, the events are like the noisy attic, always something going on, maybe a leak, maybe clutter. Level 2, the conjunctures, the economic and social trends are the main living floors. Things get rearranged, redecorated over time. But level 3, the long durée, that's the foundation, the fundamental structure. And crucially, it includes material life, what people eat, how they build shelter, the basic tools they use.
Yes, the everyday mundane stuff.
Yeah.
Paradoxically, Burdell saw this material base as a primary engine of continuity. It's often the hardest thing to change.
So these deep, persistent structures, these level 3 realities, they don't just shape time, they shape space too, right?
Yeah.
That leads us to his idea of civilizations.
Exactly. He moved from time to space. For Burdell, a civilization isn't just, you know, high art or philosophy. It's a whole cultural area, a collection of enduring characteristics that function together as a kind of total social system.
Total system. So it includes everything.
Everything. From farming techniques and food habits, what he called material civilization, right through to religious beliefs, social hierarchies, political habits, the non-material side.
And it's the mix, isn't it? The way local conditions like climate or soil interact with bigger currents like trade routes or the spread of ideas, that creates a unique personality for each civilization.
A geographical personality, yes. And what's remarkable is how these vast civilizations achieve a kind of internal unity through shared laws or religion or language, even while containing huge internal diversity and regional differences. They have staying power.
Okay, let's make this concrete. If structure really shapes destiny, as Brodel suggests, how does this play out in real examples? His comparisons are fascinating.
They really are. Let's take China and Europe. Classic Brodel contrast.
China first. For Brodel, China is the ultimate example of longevity and unity, right?
Absolutely. You look at China, held together for millennia. Why? Brodel points to geography, the vast, fertile river valleys, relatively easy to control centrally.
Which allowed for that deep structure, the imperial bureaucracy, the scholar officials.
Right. And underpinned by Confucian ideology emphasizing order and stability. That combination created a structure incredibly resilient to the rise and fall of individual dynasties. Those were level 1 events. The level 3 structure remained.
Now contrast that with Europe. Geographically, it's the opposite.
Totally different. Europe is fragmented. Peninsulas, islands, mountain ranges, like the Alps cutting it up.
Which meant?
No single power could ever really conquer and hold the whole continent for long, unlike in China. This constant fragmentation, this political disunity, was key.
But hang on, wouldn't that just lead to weakness? Constant warfare, instability?
You'd think so, looking only at level 1. But Brodel flips it. He argues this disunity was Europe's strange advantage.
How so?
Because states were forced to compete relentlessly. Compete for trade, for technology, for resources. This constant pressure cooker environment fueled innovation. It fueled a particularly aggressive form of capitalism, and eventually, paradoxically, led to Europe's global expansion.
So the fragmentation prevented stagnation. The anarchy was actually dynamic.
In a way, yes. Because underneath the political fighting, level 1, there were shared deeper structures, a common cultural heritage, developing economic networks, level 2 and 3, that allowed the system as a whole to innovate and expand, even while the individual states fought.
That's a really interesting take. What about other civilizations he looked at?
Well, Islam is another key example. Incredible geographical spread, huge ethnic diversity. What held it together?
Religion, obviously, but also
trade networks, vast continent-spanning trade routes, and shared legal frameworks based on Islamic law. It acted as this crucial crossroads civilization, connecting Africa, Asia, and Europe for centuries.
And India.
India he saw as a world of worlds, immense diversity, but the enduring structure, the level 3 constant, the caste system.
A social structure providing rigidity, but also resilience.
Exactly. Kingdoms rose and fell on the surface, but the underlying social order provided by caste endured through countless political changes, giving society a unique kind of stability.
He even looked at the Americas before Columbus, didn't he? The Maya, Aztecs, Incas.
Yes. Crucial examples of complex civilizations developing in almost complete isolation, showing the sheer variety of human social organization possible before that massive external shock of the collision with Europe.
Okay, this is all fascinating historical analysis, but how does this Brodelian way of thinking actually help us, you know, today? Why should someone listening care about these deep structures?
Well, I think it's incredibly relevant. It offers a powerful antidote to our short-term, event-driven focus.
So, practical applications.
First, in just understanding global dynamics, Brodel helps explain why deep cultural or religious identities, level three structures, often matter much more in the long run and are harder to change than political ideologies or alliances, which can shift relatively quickly.
Right, you see that playing out all the time in international relations.
Absolutely. Second, think about strategy, whether in business or government policy. You have to use these three tiers. Is this market crash just a temporary blip and vent? Or is it part of a larger cyclical downturn, a conjuncture? Or, more profoundly, does it signal a deep structural shift underway?
Like, say, the impact of climate change. That's not an event. It's a fundamental, long-durée shift in the environmental structure we operate within.
Precisely. Or demographic aging in many developed countries. That's a slow-moving, deep structural change driven by decades of low birth rates and longer lives. It affects everything. Pensions, healthcare, labor markets, regardless of who wins the next election.
Yeah.
Effective policy has to grapple with that level three reality, not just react to level one headlines about budget deficits.
It forces a longer view, and it builds cultural intelligence too, doesn't it?
Definitely. Understanding why a society might prioritize stability over disruption, or why collective identity trumps individualism in some places. That requires appreciating those deep historical and geographical roots Brodel was so focused on. It helps you understand the why behind different cultural behaviors.
So as we wrap up, maybe we can distill some core Brodelian messages, ideas to keep in mind.
Good idea.
Okay. First one, maybe. Events are the dust of history. They grab our attention. They seem important, but they pass quickly and often explain very little on their own.
Mm-hmm. Second, civilizations are incredibly resilient. They have this extraordinary longevity that often outlasts empires and states. Culture, in the deep sense, endures.
And a third about geography. It sets the stage, it creates constraints and possibilities, but it doesn't fully determine everything. Geography is destiny only up to a point. Human creativity and agency still operate within that framework.
That's a great summary. And maybe the biggest takeaway for you listening is just recognizing that we all live on these multiple timescales at once. We're shaped by yesterday's news, yes, but we're also profoundly shaped by these centuries-old structures of the long durée.
It gives you a sense of humility, maybe, about how much one person or one event can change things quickly.
Humility, yes, but also maybe confidence. Confidence in the power of persistent structural efforts. Small changes, consistently applied over time within those deep structures, can eventually lead to profound shifts.
So Brodel apparently wondered if globalization was creating a single world civilization. But he also stressed that those old deep identities rooted in language, religion, geography wouldn't just disappear. They still exert this powerful pull.
And that leaves a challenge for all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. The challenge is to look at the world around you, look at today's events, and ask, where are the echoes of the long durée? Where are those ancient currents, those deep structures, still shaping the foam and waves we see on the surface today? That's a whole new way to read the world.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.